Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the guru, Evan Witalison. How'd you like that one tonight, buddy? How are things out in the great state of Wisconsin?
I like that one, and things are very cloudy here in the state of Wisconsin. It's been very cloudy and rainy and just, you know, fall. Like, you know, as I said yesterday, fall is officially here. It's my favorite time of the year. But fall is here, and I know the people that love summer are probably in the fetal position in the corner crying and sad that summer is here, summer is gone and fall is here. But, you know, it's, you know, pumpkin everything season, and who could complain about that? Pumpkin pie, pumpkin beer, pumpkin coffee, pumpkin lattes, pumpkin, you name it. Why is it, you know, that's a great time. And, you know, anyways, as I said, things are going well. And, you know, I was scrolling around social media, and I saw that the ashes of Arnold Palmer were scattered in Latrobe today. And shortly after the ashes were scattered, a rainbow formed over where the ashes were scattered. And I just found that very neat. It's just very weird when things happen like that. You know, it's just very strange to me when things like that happen. But anyways, how are things going in Western PA?
Oh, just like you, it's a beautiful fall evening. Crisp and cool, just the way I like it. This is great sleeping weather, Evan. I mean, this is much better than heat. I know that people say, well, you got central air, turn your air conditioner on. It's not the same. There's nothing like opening a window and having the cool, crisp fall air linger in the bedroom. And then you just pull the sheet up because it gets just a little chilly in the middle of the night. That is perfect for me. I love it. It is great. The other thing is it's Thursday night, which means even though you and I talked about it, Thursday night football has pretty soon probably going to win the Pooh Ball Award. It's going to one week, Evan. I know it's going to happen. Just going to be Thursday Night Football, Pooh Ball Award winner. But it means that football is right around the corner. Normally on Thursday we do the Packer preview. Tonight we're going to talk NFL. So that gets me excited. We got a great show tonight. 30 minutes, probably not enough, Evan, to talk about all of NFL Week 3. So we're going to focus in a couple areas. You and I were having a little chat before the show. We'll definitely talk about that game. And then there are four undefeated going into this season, and we definitely want to talk about if one of those four are going to fall this week. Is there a chance that we have one of the undefeateds go down, or will they all, you know, I guess, survive and start?
I will make a bold prediction right now, Troy. I'll make a bold prediction right now. The Philadelphia Eagles will still be undefeated after week four of the NFL season. That is my bold prediction of the weekend.
You're really going out on a limb on that one. And I hope you're right. I hope you're right on that one. So, for those that may be living under a rock, Evan is saying his bold prediction because the Eagles do have a bye. So they will start week five under four teams. I did put a poll out on Twitter, so go answer the poll. Which of the undefeateds will fall? And you can follow us on Twitter at Red Light Sports. Go vote in the Twitter poll. Let us know who you think is going to fall. And Evan, we'll just start. I guess we'll start with the wonderful, like you put it, the game of the week, and that's all. I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, it's the game of the week, the matchup. We're going to wake up Sunday craving to watch the 8:30 in the morning kickoff, live in London, England, the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, I hope you caught sarcasm there for the listeners, but there is a reason, though, why this game could easily be must-watch television. There's a very good reason why. And, you know, Troy and I, you and I were talking before the show. Something has traditionally happened in that first London game, usually. And it's usually somebody comes home without a job. So I guess you can classify this game, Troy, as the Survivor Bowl. As Gus Bradley, who Jacksonville is supposed to take a step forward this year, is winless, and the Indianapolis Colts are not playing really good football either. As, you know, Chuck Pagano is on the hot seat with the 1-2 Indianapolis Colts. Gus Bradley's on the hot seat with the 0-3 Jacksonville Jaguars. So the question is, will the losing team's coach be coaching the team the next time these two teams play? I don't know if teams if they have a bye the following week, but normally the teams that go to London end up having a bye, you know, the following week. But will one of these teams be looking for a new head coach after this week? And, you know, I'm going to throw it back to you. Jacksonville, I predicted them to be a wild card team, very disappointing. The Colts, many assumed, would return to dominance in the division with a healthy Andrew Luck. You know, what are your thoughts on this matchup? And who do you think a coach might be out of a job coming home after this London trip?
I really don't think that either of the coaches are going to lose their job, but it's great reality TV, as you say. You were joking, who will survive? I was saying which one of the two will not get a rose and come home as we talk about reality TV. But it is, when you look at both these teams, Evan, disappointment. Disappointment for both of these teams. Jacksonville, like you, I thought was going to take a step forward. And I like Gus Bradley. I think he's put together a good little program. And we kept giving him the benefit of the doubt the last couple of years. His young team needs more pieces. Young team needs more pieces. These guys got to play together, keep Gus Bradley around. Well, at some point, Evan, you got to draw the line in the sand and say, okay, now you need to prove it. And this was the year they were supposed to prove it. They were competitive last year. Competitive in a sense that it felt like we're missing a piece or two, another year to gel, next year we can be a little more competitive. And I would think maybe some people didn't think they would jump into the playoffs, but thought that they might be hanging around in the playoff race until late in the season. They're almost out of it. Literally, they're almost out of it at 0-3. Now, you can't count anybody out, but at 0-3, Evan, they're not even as competitive as they were last year. I mean, they play the Packers tough, and so you give them that one in week one. Going up against a potential Super Bowl team, they didn't pull it off. But then, since then, they've just spiraled downhill. And then the Colts, on the other hand, they're 1-2. And this is a team that was supposed to, with Andrew Luck, and add in some offensive weapons, be able to compete for that AFC South title. I mean, the other two teams in the division, Tennessee and Jacksonville, you know, the team that they were going to compete with was going to be Houston. Now, they're not out of it by any means at 1-2. And they have the potential, but they're really underperforming. And if you had to tell me one of these two is going to get fired, who do you think it would be? And if it was the Colts, you know, basically like you're saying, let's say this game ended in a tie and everything was even coming on the way back home. I'd say Pagano's more on the hot seat than Gus Bradley. And the reason is the expectation.
I think they're both on a very hot seat. I think they're both very vulnerable to lose their job. Now, I don't know if it's going to be during the regular season or if they're going to wait for the postseason, but I think they both go. The because the Colts had high expectations. In Jacksonville, they've acquired a lot of young talent, some veteran talent, and they don't play inspired football, and that reflects very poorly on the head coach. They don't play inspired. They came out flat against San Diego in week two and got completely annihilated. Then last week they lost to Baltimore, and the offense, which is supposed to be a high-scoring offense, looked very bad. So I think both coaches are on the hot seat. Now, jumping to the 4-0 teams that are playing, and I'm looking at, you got Bills-Patriots, one of the 4-0 matchups. You got Broncos playing the Buccaneers, another 4-0 team with the Broncos. The Vikings playing the Giants on Monday Night Football, you know, one of those other 4-0 teams. And the Ravens, I mean, 3-0 teams. I'm predicting all the win right now out of the blue. I'm sorry, 3-0 teams. My math isn't the best tonight, if you could tell. The Ravens versus the Raiders, another one of the 3-0 team trying to go 4-0. So when you look at the matchups, Troy, I honestly think the only 3-0 team that might come away with the victory is Denver. Tampa Bay, offensively, okay. But defensively, Tampa Bay, bad. I don't think they stand a chance to keep it close against Denver whatsoever at all. I think Denver is going to win that one quite easily. I look at that Bills-Patriots matchup, and, yeah, you don't want to necessarily bet against New England, especially if it's in New England. But you got Brady suspended, Garoppolo injured. He's likely out. And then you have the third-string quarterback who, last I heard, possibly had some a thumb issue on his throwing hand. So he might have some problems in that game, too. So if he goes down or he can't play, who is the quarterback? Julian Edelman? So I think Buffalo has a shot to knock off the Patriots, and I think the Raiders have a shot to knock off the Ravens. The Raiders have a very high-scoring offense. The Ravens, a top-notch defense. What's going to give? And then the Vikings and the Giants, that Viking offense, very, very bad. Giants offense, pretty good. And their defense, not shabby either. So I think if I was a betting man, I would take the Giants to win. I would strongly consider taking Buffalo to win. And I think the Raiders could easily knock off the Ravens. So the one 3-0 team that I would pencil in at 4-0 after this week, other than Philadelphia, but they're not going to be 4-0, they'll be 3-0 still, would be Denver getting that win. I just think they have a better matchup out of all the 3-0 teams. So what are your thoughts when you go through the 3-0 teams? Do you see them all teams going through unscathed? Do you see them all losing? Or do you see a couple of them winning, a couple of them losing? What do you see happening?
Well, before I get into that, I will share the current results of the Twitter poll. Again, if you're listening in and you don't follow us on Twitter, make sure you follow us at Red Light Sports. It's pretty much the majority are saying the Baltimore Ravens are going to be the team to fall, and I agree. 44% saying Baltimore is going to fall. Then we have Vikings at 23%. Broncos at percent, New England at 11%. I don't agree with the 22% on Denver. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I agree with the 44% Baltimore Ravens. I think the Raiders have, they're still, Evan, in my mind, at a part in the season where I've watched them play, and I still think they're trying to put all the pieces together. I don't think they've played a complete football game yet. And they've still figured out a way to muster a 2-1 record. And they've got some scary pieces on offense. They've got Amari Cooper. They got Carr. I like the running back. And I like what they're doing offensively. Now, defensively, they've got a little bit of patchwork going on. Consistency is going on. But Baltimore, to me, has kind of skated through. We talked about this earlier in the week. They've kind of skated through, and, hey, again, you don't apologize for winning, and you play the games that are scheduled, And that's the way the schedule worked out for Baltimore. So good for Baltimore, right? But I think they meet a big test this week in Oakland, and I think Oakland actually goes to Baltimore and beats them. So I would definitely agree with, so far, with the majority of our Twitter followers, the 44%. And that Baltimore team, I think, goes down this week. New England, you make a good case, Evan. You make a really good case. But I also look at this game in New England. So this is one of those where you call the toss-up. And there's a lot of intangibles that go into this game. And the quarterback play is definitely one of them. And if there's an injury at quarterback and one of them gets more tweaked up, what are you going to do? But I think LeGarrette Blount is probably going to have a pretty big day. And Bill Belichick is one of those guys that will rotate in and all of a sudden play these players we've never heard of, and they get like 200 yards rushing, and then everybody goes out on the waiver wire on fantasy football and grabs them. I don't know who that player is going to be for New England this week, but there's going to be one of them, and then the whole fantasy world is going to freak out, and then Belichick won't play that kid again. That's what's going to happen this week. I think New England stays 4-0. I definitely also, in a second place close that could fall, and actually I think they will fall, is Minnesota. I like the Minnesota Viking defense. You know, we see it firsthand following the Packers. But I think the Giants are the real deal. I really do. I think that they've offensively figured out what their identity is on offense. And I think defensively, they've finally figured out enough to play together as a unit. And I think they go to Minnesota and defensively shut down the Vikings. And it'll be a low-scoring affair, even though the Giants' offense is very good. That Viking defense is very good. But I think it's a lower-scoring game, and I think the Giants eke it out. And then I think Denver just kills Tampa Bay. Even if Jameis Winston comes out and plays like Jameis Winston, Denver's got a very, very good defense. Offensively, not a juggernaut offense, but that Tampa Bay defense sucks. Excuse my language. They're terrible. And I think if you're going to shoe in a victory, it's for Denver on the fence with the New England-Buffalo game, so that's could go either way, but I definitely think Baltimore and Minnesota fall this week. So there's my thoughts. And then I want to roll into a game, Evan, and I wanted to get your quick thoughts because I'm in Western PA. The Steelers, you know, the world has come crashing down because the Eagles just dominated them, and oh my God, they are, you know, they were terrible. Yes, they were. But on our Steelers Twitter page, at RLSN Steelers, if you're a Steelers fan, I put out a poll, Evan, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Are you more concerned that they gave up 34 points, or are you more concerned that they didn't score a touchdown? I wanted to get your quick thoughts, because I gave my 2 cents worth, and I wanted to find out what you think, not being a person that lives in Western PA that follows the Steelers and hears about the Steelers every day. What is more concerning for you, that they didn't score a touchdown or that they've given up 34 points to an Eagles offense?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Because the defense for the Steelers, that was going to be a liability coming into the year. So I guess it's not a huge shocker that they gave up a lot of points. But they didn't score a touchdown at all. The Steelers were supposed to rely on their offense to carry them this year. That's what they're supposed to do. The offense was supposed to carry the Steelers because guess what? The defense is not supposed to be very good. And the defense, other than against the run, is exactly who they thought were going to be. They struggle against the pass. They struggle for points allowed per game. Struggle in total yards allowed per game, but right now the offense, 21st in the league in yards, 14th passing the ball, and 18th rushing the ball. Supposed to be a strength of this team, but Ben Roethlisberger, 4 interceptions on the year, hasn't been that protective of the football. D'Angelo Williams doing the best he can, but he's not a spring chicken anymore. And there's really little help for Antonio Brown. He's got 24 catches for 305 yards. The next highest is 14 catches for 89 yards, and that's a running back in D'Angelo Williams. Jesse James has 10 catches for 70 yards, a rookie tight end. And then the only real big play threat they've had so far this year is Sammy Coates, 7 catches for 203 yards. That offense was supposed to be a strong suit to this Steeler team. You know, then you have Marcus Wheaton, who had just 1 catch for 2 yards, and Darius Heyward-Bey, just 1 catch for 70 yards. Where is the other weapons on offense stepping up? That's the question. Who else is going to step up on offense? Like I said, the defense was supposed to be a liability on this team, but this offense is supposed to carry it. But this offense has not been playing very well, and they definitely didn't play very well against Philadelphia. So that's my concern. My concern is the offense, because if Pittsburgh's offense is not playing well, Pittsburgh's not going to go very far. And this would be another tough matchup against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs' defense is pretty good overall. They struggle against the run, but they're pretty decent against the pass. So this should be an interesting matchup. I think Pittsburgh bounces back and gets this victory Sunday night, but I think this should be a very interesting matchup between these two teams, two very, very well-coached teams. So that's my thought.
Yeah, it's concerning they didn't score a touchdown, Evan. But I also think that it could be one of those anomaly games. And I know they're not doing well overall. Concerning to me on the defensive side, Evan, is that they only have one sack. And if they can't get pressure on any team, and especially against Kansas City, we know Alex Smith doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And if they can't pressure Alex Smith, they're going to be in for another 30-point letdown. And so I don't want to say it this way, that I kind of put that question out there kind of as a trick question, because they both go hand in hand. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm concerned about both. And I should have put the both there, because, as you mentioned, everybody thought that, oh, this offense is going to be the best offense ever. They're not playing like that. And I'm not being a hater. I mean, you look at the numbers. You mentioned the stat line. And the thing is, if the offense can't sustain drives and keep that defense off the field, the Steelers may be 8-8. Because that defense, it was masked in the first two victories. I know they got a win against Cincinnati, but that defense has huge deficiencies up front. They cannot pressure the quarterback. They rarely blitzed against Philadelphia, which I thought was a mistake against a young quarterback. And I know that the stats and these people, Evan, with all these analytics in today's world, like, oh, Carson Wentz is so good against the blitz. Well, that's great. But you know what? If Carson Wentz has been in the league for maybe 3-4 years and he's tearing the league up against the blitz, kind of like Aaron Rodgers when you blitz him, then I might say you've got a valid point to make me say, okay, you're right. Been two games only. So come up with some elaborate blitz schemes and pressure the young kid and see how he works. Two games of analytics to me against Carson Wentz means nothing. Nothing at all. And I think the Steelers blew it there. And to be honest, the Pooh Ball Award almost went to the Steelers defense last week. It almost did, but I didn't put it there. My point here, though, is in this game, Evan, the Steelers better figure out how to get pressure on Alex Smith, because the good old term, air quoting game manager Alex Smith, if you do not pressure him, he's not going to make mistakes. He would much rather take a sack so the Steelers may get one or two more sacks on their sack total than him throwing an interception. And if the offense can't move the ball against a very good Chief defense, which, in all honesty, you just said it, is as good, if not better, than the Eagles defense, they could be in for another long night. Now, the game is in Pittsburgh. That could help. But I've got my concerns about Kansas City coming to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh could right the ship, and they could get back on the winning track. But I don't know. It's going to be tough. I'm actually leaning right now on Thursday night toward Kansas City coming to Pittsburgh and winning the game, because they're not going to turn the ball over. And if the Steelers can't get pressure, they're not going to beat the Chiefs. So I want to talk about that quickly. I know we got a couple minutes. Throw another game out, Evan, for week three that we can talk about real quick.
Well, week three is actually not a really good week for football. I know it's football, blah, 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 blah. But week three is really not a good week. There's not really a lot of great matchups. You know, we talked about the 3-0 teams that are playing. They're all 3-0 matchups. I think the best one is going to be the Vikings and the Giants. Because you have the Giants offense versus the Vikings defense, what's going to give? Typically, the defensive teams win those type of battles. Chargers has a very intriguing matchup. Two defenses that aren't very good. And if you're a fantasy football player, and if you have Chargers players on your bench on offense, get them in your starting lineup now. Same goes for the Saints. If you got Saints offensive players on your bench, get them in the starting lineup. So that matchup, I think, is pretty decent. But there's not really a lot of good matchups out there at all. I guess the one that I am kind of interested in, just because he intrigued me, is that Cowboys 49ers game. And that's Prescott. Dak Prescott. He really intrigued me. He did not turn the ball over. He protects the football. He's a gamer, and he's playing, to me, he's playing really good football right now. He's got zero interceptions on the year. He only has one touchdown pass, but, you know, they have seven rushing touchdowns on the year. And then Ezekiel Elliott, if I have Ezekiel Elliott on my fantasy football team, I'm going to call this right now, Troy. He's going to go for over 200 yards against the 49ers. 49ers defense is not very good at all. They're not. Offensively, they're not good either. But they give up 122 yards rushing per game. I look for Ezekiel Elliott to get over 200 yards rushing and for Dallas to run away with this game. Like I said, the only thing that intrigues me in this matchup is Dak Prescott. I'm very impressed by him, what he's been able to do in a very tough situation in order to get victories for Dallas. So, you know, out of the rookie quarterbacks that have started, Troy, between Prescott, the Browns' new starting quarterback, and Carson Wentz, and the Patriots guy, a player that started last week, the rookie quarterbacks only have two losses, and that was Prescott week one against the Giants, and Cody Kessler losing last week for the Browns. So what about you? What matchup stands out to you?
Well, I guess this is kind of that kick you in the gut type thing. But I'm interested to see which of the winless teams might have a chance to win this week. Not only do we have five undefeated teams, we've got four teams that do not have a win. One being the Jaguars, who we talked about going across the pond to England. Not real interested in that game, other than to see who may not come back as a coach. But the game that I'm going to keep an eye on are the Browns-Redskins. Can the Brownies get their first win at the Redskins? And people would normally say, well, Troy, that's a no-brainer. The Redskins are going to walk all over them. I don't know. I'm going to keep my eye on that and see if the Browns can do anything and see if they can finally get a win here early against a Redskins team that has – I would say a lot of adversity going on right now in that organization. And the Redskins, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I need to come out Sunday and I need to put up like 40 on the Browns. And I need to shut everybody up. But if the Redskins struggle or even lose to the Browns, the D.C. area is going to blow up, Evan. So that game's intriguing to me because I want to see not only can the Browns get a first win, but how is this going to go in Washington with all the adversity going on? One of the other winless teams are the Bears, and the Lions go to Chicago. I think the Bears continue to be winless. I think the Lions can go to Chicago and beat the Bears. And then that other game, you mentioned it, Saints at Chargers. The Saints are also 0-3, and their defense, we talked about, you gave them the Pooh Ball Award last week, Evan. They're bad. They're terrible. I said the Buccaneers' defense sucked. The Saints are even below them, and that's pretty bad. I don't even think there's a word for that. So it's going to be a long season for the Saints. And the Chargers got a pretty good offense. They've got Melvin Gordon really getting going. You got Phillip Rivers, a guy that I think does not get enough respect in the league. I know that, you know, they've had some issues in San Diego, but they've got a okay offense at times. They show some real glimmers of hope. So my watchful eye this week are on all of those winless teams, because like you said, there's not a lot of intriguing matchups as far as must-watch TV. The Chiefs-Steelers, you know, once you get to 8:30 on Sunday night, then you got the Chiefs-Steelers, which I think will be a good game as a football fan. And then on Monday night, you got the Giants and the Vikings. Those are probably the two best games of the weekend, and they don't happen until 8:30 on Sunday night. So that's all I got. What else you got? I know we're in archive time right now.
I got nothing else.
All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed tonight. For Evan Wichallison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back at you Monday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Enjoy the NFL games. We'll get back Monday night. Usually it's Packer recap, Evan, but we'll just do NFL recap on Monday night. So have a good weekend, everyone. Evan and I will get back at you Monday night. Talk to you soon.